We're going to read verse 21. It says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." I want to key in on that last part that, there that says, that ye should follow his steps. In our Christian life, and just in our life in general, we should be trying our very best to follow in Christ's steps. We should be trying to stay on the path that he is leading us on and stay behind him, because he wants to lead us. He wants to guide us. And he is leaving footprints in front of us so that we can follow his path. One of the things that annoys me about the snow is whenever, so we live in an apartment, but they come through and they clean up all the ice and snow and stuff on the sidewalks before we wake up, usually. But sometimes they don't do that, okay? And you have to walk out and there's like 6, 7, 8 inches of snow, and you're walking to your car and no one has walked out before you. You're the first person, okay? And you're going through the snow, it's getting all inside your shoes and all that stuff. It's just making a huge mess. And it's a whole lot easier whenever someone has come out and shoveled the snow, right? It's a whole lot easier to make your way through that path whenever someone's already cleared it for you. Or even if someone's already walked through the snow and left their footprints, you can kind of have a little path to follow. Sometimes Kennedy wants us to carry her into the house, and she's starting to get a little bit heavier, okay? And I'll say, hey, just walk behind me. Just follow me. And she doesn't really want to walk in the snow. But I can show her that, hey, if you follow in my footsteps, it's a whole lot easier than if you just try to walk throughout the big piles of snow by yourself. Just follow in my footsteps behind me, and we'll make it into the house safely. And Jesus wants us to follow in his footsteps. He's leading the path. He says, hey, I can take you down this path that is safe. I can take you down this path that is going to lead you to exactly where I want you to be. But you're going to have to follow my footsteps. You're going to have to go where I lead you. You're going to have to go wherever I take you. And Jesus wants us to follow in his footsteps, okay? So we're going to look at a few different areas of our lives, and we're going to try to determine, are we following Jesus? So the first area that we're going to look at, we're going to look at a few different things of Jesus' life and how he lived and some attributes that he had, and we're going to compare them to ourselves and see, do I have these types of things? Am I following Jesus in these areas of my life? So let's go over to Matthew chapter 22 for our first point. Matthew chapter 22. And once you make it over there, we'll start in verse 34. All right, Matthew chapter 22 and verse 34. It says, let me find it. There you go. "But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, 'Master, which is the great commandment in the law?' Jesus said unto him, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind.'" So the first thing that we're going to look at here is, how do we love? Are we following Christ's footsteps with how we love? And this is a two-part answer. So the first thing that we're going to look at is, how do we love God? Does God have 100% of our love? Does he have 100% of our attention? Does he have 100% of everything that we can give him? Or are we kind of shorting him a little bit in some areas? Are we giving God everything that we have? If I was to ask who loves God, everyone's going to raise their hand, right? If I was to go out and ask just on the street if you love God, most people are going to say yes. But do we truly love God? And thinking about tomorrow's Valentine's Day, okay? And I was thinking about, what is love? And so with Haley, okay, I can tell Haley I love you all day long. But there's going to be some things that she's going to see from me, right? She's going to want me to have a relationship with her. She's going to want me to talk to her other than just saying I love you. If I get up in the morning and say, hey, love you, babe, and I leave and I come back later, then I love you. But I don't have a conversation with her. Do you think we're going to get anywhere? Do you think I'm going to be happy? She's going to be happy? No, because we're not communicating. We're not really truly having a relationship. And conversation is key to having a good relationship. I remember whenever we were dating, we were talking and texting nonstop, okay? And it's because we were big in the relationship. We still talk and text, but I'm saying we were big in the relationship. And it should be the same exact way with Jesus, okay? Our relationship with him, we should get up in the morning and get him on the line and keep him there all day. We should be talking to him constantly throughout the day. We should be keeping a close relationship with him because that's what he desires. He wants to see, hey, show me how you love me. Communicate with me. Have a relationship with me. Another way that we can show that we love someone is by our acts of service, okay? If I bring Haley home some flowers, something like that, she's going to see, hey, he loves me. Kennedy, our daughter, she loves receiving gifts, okay? If someone could buy her a random gift from the dollar store, she's going to remember that person and that gift for the rest of her life, okay? She'll bring up things from like a year and a half ago. I'm like, how do you remember that? She loves receiving gifts. And it's the act of us giving to someone. So if I give Haley something, she sees that, hey, he took his time, he took his money, he took some thought, and he went and did something for me. And God wants us to give him our lives. He wants our lives. He wants our time. He wants us to say, here, Lord, here am I. Whatever you want from me, I'm willing to give that to you. Whatever you want from me, I'm willing to go. Wherever you send, I'm willing to follow. And he can look and say, hey, that person truly loves me because they're willing to give me themselves. This morning, the missionary was talking about free will. God has given each and every one of us free will. And whenever he looks down and he sees one of his children say, hey, Lord, take my life and use it however you want, he loves that. He sees that and says, hey, that person really loves me because they could go out and do anything they wanted to do. They could go out and make any decision that they wanted to make. Yet they're choosing to give their life back to me. So God wants us to give of ourselves to him. So the first thing that we're looking at here is how do we love? And the first part is our relationship with God. So let's continue down with the rest of this chapter, okay? It says, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, let's restart. When the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. So like I said, if I asked who loves God, everyone's going to raise their hand. This is the next part that gets kind of tricky, okay? It says, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So I don't know about you, but it's easy to say, okay, I can love God. But whenever it comes to people, that's a lot harder, right? It's a lot harder to love everyone that we come in contact with. It's a lot harder to care for everyone that you come in contact with because by human nature, there's naturally going to be people that we don't jive with, right? There's going to be people that we don't get along with. And we have to make sure that we are still showing love to those people. We can't say that we love God and then hate people. And we can't say that we love people and hate God. They don't go hand in hand. We have to be loving God and loving people at the same exact time. And it goes the same exact way like I just said with our relationship with Christ. We have to be giving to others. We have to be loving other people. We have to be cultivating relationships with other people. To strengthen the church, church is about relationships, okay? Church is about coming and worshiping Christ. But a church grows by the close relationships that are had by the people. People come here because they want to be accepted. People come to church because they want to know more about Christ, but they're also looking for that Christian fellowship. And whenever we reach other people, whenever we minister to other people, we can show that we love them. We can show that we care for them. Sometimes just a kind word to someone can change their entire day. Sometimes just come up to someone and say, hey, I've been praying for you. That could have an effect on them that they've been needing in their lives. And we have to make sure that we are loving every single person how they need to be loved. And God didn't put any stipulations on who to love. He said, hey, love thy neighbor as thyself. And then I love what he says in verse 40. He says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So he's saying all the other stuff that I've commanded you, all the other commandments, the law and the prophets, hang those two things on that. So if I love God and I love people how I'm supposed to, it's going to be a whole lot easier to keep the rest of the stuff that God's laid out in the Bible because I'm probably going to be a Christian that's willing to listen. I'm probably going to be a Christian that's willing to follow whatever he said because I can keep those two things. But if I have an issue with loving God or if I have an issue with loving people and loving everybody, it's going to be a lot harder for me to keep all the commandments and all the things that God has given us because I'm already getting the first two that he said wrong. So we need to make sure that we are loving God while loving people at the same time and make sure that we're loving them the right way, okay? We need to inspect our hearts and say, hey, do I truly love everyone or is there someone that I have an issue with? And trust me, there's been people that I've had issues with, but God's worked on my heart and said, hey, you can't love me properly and hate someone else. You can't say that you love me with all your heart yet have bitterness against somebody else. And bitterness is something that will eat us from the inside out, right? If I have bitterness against Gabe about whatever, is my bitterness hurting Gabe? No. Gabe probably doesn't even know I'm bitter against him. I'm not. But I'm saying he wouldn't even probably know. But Gabe would be doing just fine living his life, and that bitterness would be eating me from the inside out. It would be killing me, just like a cancer. And we need to make sure that we're not allowing that to cultivate in our hearts and in our lives. Because whenever we allow bitterness to get in there, whenever we allow Satan to plant bitterness in our hearts, it's going to destroy us. It's going to overtake our lives. Whenever someone's bitter, all they can think about is the person that they're bitter about. All they can think about and focus on is how can I get revenge? How can I get back at someone? But we have to make sure that we are loving everyone. I'm kind of spilling over to my next point, okay? So let's go over to Luke chapter 23. So the first thing that we looked at there is how do we love? Are we following Christ's footsteps with the love that we're showing to people and to God in our lives? So Luke chapter 23, and once you get over there, we'll start in verse 32. Luke 23:32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. So the second thing that we're going to look here is how do we forgive? Are we following in Christ's footsteps whenever it comes to forgiveness? And these attributes that we're looking at are some things that really stuck out to me with how Christ lived his life. He lived a life of love, and he lived a life of forgiveness. This passage here is so perplexing because Christ was being crucified for things that he hadn't done. He had been beat. He had his beard ripped out. He had so many horrible things done to him for you and I. And when he's on the cross there, he says something that is confusing to us as people because how could he possibly want to forgive them? It says there in verse 34, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus lived a life of forgiveness. He forgave people for the things that they had done to him. He forgave people for wronging him. Yet sometimes in our lives, we have a tough time forgiving someone because they called us a mean name. Or we have a tough time forgiving someone because they took our pew at church. You know what I mean? And we have a tough time with forgiveness sometimes, but we have to remember everything that Christ has forgiven us for. Jesus just didn't die for all the people that had sinned back then. He didn't just forgive the people that were crucifying. He forgave you and I. If I was the only person on the face of the planet that was ever going to sin, Jesus still would have had to have died to pay for my sins. If I lived my entire life and only told one white lie, Jesus still had to die for that lie. And the forgiveness that Christ has blessed us with, that he has given to us, that he has shared with us, is something that I can't comprehend because we've done so many different things. Myself, I've done so many different things to disappoint him, yet his forgiveness is never ending. He's forgiven us for all of our sins, past, present, and future. He paid that penalty. He paid that price for us. The worst person that you can think of in the history of the world, he paid for their sins. He died for that person. And his forgiveness is immeasurable. And he wants us to live a life of forgiveness. He wants us to take the same forgiveness that he's given to us and share that with other people. So there shouldn't be anyone in my life that I'm holding a grudge toward. There shouldn't be anyone in my life that I can't forgive because the forgiveness that Christ gave to me is something that is crazy. It is something that I didn't deserve. So if Christ would give his forgiveness to me when I didn't deserve it, I should be willing to give that forgiveness to other people. And we need to make sure that we are living a life of forgiveness. We need to make sure that we do not have aught with any brother. We need to make sure that we are cool with everyone, because God wants us to live a life of forgiveness. And like I said with the last point, if we're holding bitterness inside of our hearts, that's just going to hurt us. It doesn't affect the other person. It affects us. And it's going to affect our relationship with Christ. It's going to affect our relationship with other people. And it's eventually just going to destroy us. So let's go over to Mark chapter 11 real quick. Mark chapter 11. And we're going to read verses 25 and 26. Mark 11, verse 25. It says, "And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, for your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses." So at the beginning of that verse, he says, "And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any." I like how the Bible uses the word any. That doesn't leave anybody out, right? Any is everyone. So it doesn't matter what's been done or who it was or any of that stuff. The Bible says that we should forgive them. And that can be very difficult, because sometimes people are going to wrong us in ways that shouldn't happen. Sometimes people are going to hurt us in ways that we think we can never forgive them for. But God wants us to forgive anyone that has done anything wrong to us, okay? And if we want to walk in Christ's footsteps, we're going to have to forgive. We're going to have to be able to follow behind him and say, "Lord, it's going to be tough to forgive this person, but I have to do it if I want to walk in your footsteps. It's going to be tough to love some people, but if I want to walk in his footsteps and walk behind him, I'm going to have to love those people," okay? So the first thing that we looked at was, if we're going to walk like Jesus and live like him, we have to walk with love, and we need to be walking with forgiveness. And then the last thing that we're going to look at, go back to 1 Peter chapter 2. So back to where we started. 1 Peter chapter 2, and we'll start back in verse 21, and we'll read down to verse 25. It says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." So the last thing that we're going to look at here is, if we're going to follow in Christ's footsteps, ultimately, we're going to have to live like him. We're going to have to live the lifestyle of Jesus. And one thing that I find interesting here is in verse 23, it says, "Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." One thing that Jesus did, it says that he was reviled. So people were talking trash to him. People were abusing him with their language. And the Bible says that he didn't revile back. He didn't have any counter to what they said. He didn't have to fight back against the things that they did. And Jesus lived a life. Jesus wasn't a passive person. Jesus didn't let people beat up on him. But Jesus knew the right type of attitude to have whenever it was the time. We know the story about Jesus went to the temple and kicked over the tables and ran everyone out, okay? He wasn't a passive person, but Jesus knew how to have restraint. The Bible says answer a fool according to his folly and not to answer a fool according to his folly. You know what I mean? So we have to have discretion in our lives. We have to understand that, hey, not everyone deserves a response. And that's just a portion of living like Jesus, okay? Jesus lived a life of sacrifice. Jesus lived a life of servitude. Jesus was always ready to serve other people. That's what he gave his life to. All of the Gospels, you go through and read, he gave his life to serve other people. He went around healing people. He went around teaching the people. And he made sure that he was a servant. And if we're going to follow in his footsteps, we have to live a life of servitude. We have to be willing to serve other people. And the other day I was watching the NFL Honor Award Show, and they gave out the award for the Walter Payton Man of the Year, okay? And the guy got up, I don't know if he's a Christian or not. From what he was saying, it sounded like he might be. But he was talking about taking the money that he had gained. Well, I'll explain something first. The Walter Payton Man of the Year Award is for, like, the most upstanding NFL player in the league. So they're supposed to be a good guy. He was talking about taking his money and taking his time and his platform and going around and blessing kids with bikes and living a life of servitude. And he was talking about that he was going to teach his kids how to live a life of servitude and stuff like that. And then he started talking, and he said that he was playing a game against the Lions, actually. And he said that this kid, well, he was a grown man, but a kid compared to him, came running across the field. And he said he had no idea who it was, and that whenever he finally made it over to him, he said, "Hey, I'm so-and-so, and I was at the Boys and Girls Club in Cincinnati, Ohio, and you came and talked to me, and you helped me, and now look at me. I made it. I'm in the NFL now, and I thank you for your mentorship that you gave to me whenever I was just a teenager." And whenever I was watching the award show, I wasn't expecting to get anything spiritual from it, because it was just a football show. But God laid something on my heart, and he said, "Hey, once you get to heaven, is there going to be anyone that comes up to you that says, 'Hey, thank you for doing that. You came and you taught in my Sunday school class, and I accepted Christ, and look, I made it. I'm here.' Is there going to be anyone that's going to meet me up in heaven and say, 'Hey, you had an impact on my life by the way that you lived, by the actions that you did, by the things I saw you doing, and look, I made it. I went and became a pastor, or I went and raised my family for Christ, or I went and on to do great things.'" And I can ask the same thing for each and every one of us. Are we leaving that type of impact in our lives? Are we living the life that Jesus lived and following his footsteps? I'm sure that there's a lot of people, everyone that comes to Jesus and says, "Hey, you had an impact on my life." And it was because of the way that he lived. He lived a perfect life, and he walked the right type of way. We're never going to be perfect, and he doesn't expect us to be perfect. But he does expect us to live a life like him. He does expect us to try our very best to follow in his footsteps. And whenever I was watching that award show, and he said that story about that kid who went from being just a kid to going to the NFL and how he had helped him, that laid something on my heart that, hey, once I get to heaven, who will be there because of me? Who's going to be there because I was able to reach them? Or is it going to be the opposite way? Am I driving people away from Christ by the way that I live? Am I pushing people further away? If that guy hadn't reached out to that kid, maybe he wouldn't have made it to the NFL. Maybe he would have. Who knows? But his impact had impact was great on him, and it helped him to make it to the next level. So we can take that and apply it to our lives spiritually. So let me ask you, is there going to be people in heaven that look and say, "Hey, I know who you are. You taught me when I was just a kid, and your impact was so great, I got saved, and now I'm here in heaven with you"? And that's the greatest achievement that we can ever have. The only thing that we're going to take to heaven are our family and the people around us, okay? Our money is staying here. Our accolades are staying here. Our vehicles, our houses, everything is staying here. The only thing that we can ever take with us are the souls that are around us, okay? So I ask you, are you following in Christ's footsteps whenever it comes to how we love? Are we loving God and loving people, and are we loving them the right way? Secondly, how do we forgive? Are we living a life of forgiveness? Do we hold grudges, or are we ready to forgive whenever we need to forgive people? And then lastly, are we living our lives like Jesus? Are we walking in his footsteps and living our lives like him? The other day I was walking to the mailbox, okay? And I should have drove, because I almost slipped like 18 times on the way to the mailbox. And I had every opportunity to drive, and it would have been a whole lot easier, right? There was already a paved path for me. It would have been a lot easier to go. But I decided I was going to walk. And I took the harder path for no real reason. And I could have followed the path that was already laid out for me, the path that would have been a whole lot easier, but I decided to choose something that was harder. And we can't do that in our lives. We have to make sure that we're following the path of Christ, because Christ is there saying, hey, I cleared the snow for you, okay? Just follow me. Is it going to be easy all the time? No, because life's not always easy. But it's going to be a whole lot easier than if we try to pick the path that has all the snow on it, if we try to pick the path that has all the obstacles on it. So we need to make sure, are we living like Jesus? Are we following the path of Jesus, okay? So I'll read verse 21 one more time. It says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you once again, Lord, for allowing us just to be able to come to church, Lord, and hear from you. I ask you to help each and every one of us, Lord, including myself, to take this lesson to heart, Lord, and to think about it. Help us to follow in your footsteps in every area of our life. Help us to love you, Lord, and to love people the right way. Help us to make sure that we have a forgiving heart, Lord, and help us to make sure that ultimately that we're living our lives like you. In your name I pray, amen. And with that, you are dismissed. Thank you.